Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Born in the Rockies, Coors Light is lagered cold for a crisp, clean taste. Filtered cold to ensure clarity and brightness. And packaged cold for peak refreshment. Because those who thirst for more deserve the world's most refreshing beer.
Welcome into the Bulls Talk Podcast, presented by Coors Light. Jim Boylan coached the final 58 games of the season after taking over for Fred Hoiberg on December 3rd. Boylan was asked to change the culture in the Bulls locker room with a focus on player accountability, improved conditioning, and a tougher mental focus. Even though the record didn't improve, the Bulls did show progress in all of those areas. I sat down with Boylan recently for a wide-ranging discussion where he displayed the passion, tireless work ethic, and pride in the organization that impressed the front office and ownership.
Well, Jim, you've been on the job for about 4 months now. Obviously, the record isn't what you'd like, but what kind of things have you learned about being an NBA head coach over that time?
Well, so many things I've learned. You don't have as much control as you may think or you would like, and you kind of have to control the things you can. You know, obviously be organized for practice, be organized in the games, understand our sub pattern, who we want to play, how we're going to play them, take ownership of those things. But as far as the ball going in the basket or maybe a bad call here or there or an injury that happens, those are difficult. But you got to let go of it. You got to move on. You got to stay in the moment. I try not to project, you know, negativity, and I try not to play backward too. So try to be in that moment in the game, in practice, and I've really tried to hang my hat on just teaching and coaching. Just teaching and coaching as hard as I can, without being combative, without being negative. But being direct and honest. And in those moments, you know, you don't always do it right, right? You don't always get it right, but you try. And you learn to forgive yourself in these jobs too sometimes. You know, you learn to understand that you're going to make probably more mistakes than the team's going to make or the players are going to make in the process, and to move on from those. So I learned to meet with the media 3 times a day on game day, which is difficult from the standpoint of a consistent message and staying on point with what's going on. I've learned that resting and eating is as important as anything. I use a lot of energy during the games. I try to teach hard in practice. Doug Collins has really helped me with that. You know, you got to eat and you got to rest and you got to clear your head, because it can. The weight of this thing can wear you out. You know?
I know that you put in long hours as an assistant coach, but it gets ramped up even more when you're in charge of the whole program. Who do you lean on for support and to help you get through the tough times?
Well, my family's very supportive. My wife has a real knack for that voice of reason. You know, why are you worried about that? Or you can't control that. Or, you know, you need to get away from it for a little bit. My kids are a great resource for me of just fun, and they're so pure, and they're so happy all the time. You know, they're fun to be around. But I have a good staff. You know, I have a staff that know me from this process. We've been together, and they know my blind spots. They know my warts. They also know how I want it done. So they're a great resource for me. I mentioned Doug Collins. He's been terrific. John Paxson's been terrific. I can call him. I can talk to him. I can vent with him without any judgment, which is important. Jerry Reinsdorf and I talk, and we have good conversations, and he has good advice for me. He has good constructive criticism for me, which I like. I think you need that. I'm not afraid of somebody telling me something I need to do better. That's how I grow. I can't be that way with the team and not that way with myself. And so I try to pick the people I think can give me that and help me grow. I'm still evolving too.
Sure, we all are. Yeah,
you know, I'm still evolving, and but I'll tell you this, you know, this is not a hobby for me, and bulls across my chest means the world. As long as I'm here, I'm going to fight for that.
We know how much pride you take in the organization, and some of the buzzwords that you use, people originally thought that that's just coach speak, but you really believe in that, not only in basketball, but in life.
Yeah, so when I first started playing, all I wanted to do was put my hand in the huddle and be part of something. I have a picture in my office of the hand in the huddle. Mm-hmm. To be part of a team, to work for something together, to grow something together. That's the way I was raised. And, you know, we all come from different backgrounds. I haven't had a real difficult life, but my parents were divorced. In the 70s, people's parents weren't divorced. So it kind of clicked with me when I went to practice. We were all the same. We all wore the same thing. We all wore the same, you know, practice uniform. We had a team shoe, same socks. I liked that. I was like everybody else. I wasn't a divorced kid. I was, you know, just like the rest of the guys. And that resonated with me. And because of that, the only place I ever felt safe was in the gym or in the football field or in the locker room, because I was just like everybody else. And I love that. And I think about that here. You know, we got guys that make different levels of money, and guys that were all Americans and high school all Americans, and we got seven guys playing right now that weren't drafted, and I love that. It doesn't matter. It's what you do when you cross over that line. Are you going to compete today? Are you going to care about the team? Are you going to play the right way? Are you going to honor bulls across your chest with what's been built here? And just honor the fact that you're getting paid to do this job. See, that's lost in all this. We are getting paid to do this job, just like everybody else in the world gets paid to do their job. And what's expected from them? You work hard. You care about the business you're working for. You don't steal. You don't cheat. You tell the truth. You take correction. You take ownership of the product. That's all I'm asking for. And I got labeled old school for that, or I'm a tough coach or whatever. I don't know. I know when you were growing up, isn't that how you're supposed to be?
Right.
How has that changed so much? It hasn't to me, and I'm not going to let it change, not here, as long as I'm here. And, you know, we have an obligation to get this right. I don't have to be right. It doesn't have to be my idea. We have a collaborative effort here. I think even every day it grows between John and Gar and Doug and Michael and Jerry, and that's a positive thing. But I think we all know we got to get it right, and we're working at that.
I think some people forget that you were an assistant coach here,
You
know, for the previous 3 years. So you've built relationships with a lot of these players already. But in moving into the head coaching role, how important is it to build relationships, build that trust factor to get maximum performance on the court?
Well, I'd like to address that. So I was hired by the Bulls to work for Fred Hoiberg, and took that very seriously. I was with the Spurs, had a good job there. And I felt this was a great opportunity to teach and coach and work for the Bulls and work for Fred. And my job was to get Fred's vision across to this team and to help Fred with how he wanted this team to play. I did that to the best of my ability. And I did that with honesty and telling him the truth. At the end of the day, I wanted to honor how he wanted it run.
Right.
So when I took over the job, I had some ideas of how I wanted to do it. Those ideas may have been given to Fred, and he wanted to do it a different way. I honor who I work for, and I worked hard for him. And when I had my opportunity to become the coach, I still had those relationships, like you said, but now I moved over a seat, okay?
And that's the toughest transition.
A tough transition, so people look at you a little differently. But I wasn't going to wake up 10 years from now saying, God, I wish I would have done it this way or my way. You know, I had to help Fred with his way.
Yep.
That's what you do as an assistant. I've done that six times in the NBA, six different head coaches. And I worked for Tom Izzo and Judd Heathcote. So I know how that's supposed to look and why I'm supposed to do that. That's honoring your boss's wishes. Now I'm the boss, right? So now I want to do it my way. And by the grace of God, the way that I wanted to do it fit how this team needed to be coached, in my opinion, in John's opinion. That's what it needed. And fit like a hand in a glove, you know? It was great.
And you can see the players buying in. I mean, the incident in Los Angeles where you were rejected from the game, of course, the fine comes with that, yeah. And Zach LaVine offered to pay your fine. Yeah. And Zach was a guy who had to make a transition because he had a lot of offensive freedom, let's say, under Fred, mm-hmm. and you wanted him to play a little bit differently as you took the job. And I'm sure there was a little bit of pushback.
Absolutely.
And now... Yeah. He's one of your biggest supporters.
Well, thank you for that. And I thank Zach for offering to pay my fine. It was really generous of him. But I told John there was going to be some pushback. I knew we were going to have some pushback. We go to Indiana and lose the first game, December 4th, whatever it was. We come home, we beat OKC. But that whole time, I knew there was going to be a moment when these guys say, hey, this is enough, man. I practiced the heck out of them. I'm trying to push them to a place they can't take themselves. I want them to grow. You know, nothing grows without some sun, some shade, some rain. And I knew we were going to have some dark, tough moments. But those are the growth edges. I know that from doing this. And I had a vision of how I wanted us to play. Mark, we weren't going to get there the first week. You know, we weren't going to get there. And change is very difficult. I learned that everywhere I've gone, whether I go with a new staff somewhere. I took over at Utah. They had won 11 games a year before I got there. Change was hard on those guys. How am I going to fit in? What's he going to demand of me? You know, I think some people, you know, am I tough enough to play in this system? You know, I'm not in shape. He's going to get me in shape. Oh, man, you know, how's that going to look? How's that going to feel? I can't get in shape midway through the season. That's too hard. I got to play games, too. No. We weren't worried necessarily about winning one game. We're trying to build something. So all that goes into that, and we got through it. We established a foundation, and in February we were playing some really good basketball.
Yeah, you changed the offense a bit in terms of letting them run a little bit, and I'm sure the players enjoyed that aspect of it. You're 5-5 in February. Lowry had the best month of his career where he was getting the ball off the board and pushing it up the court, and you saw a style evolve that you can win with. Is that snapshot in February something that you can carry into the offseason and into next training camp?
That is a snapshot. I have to be honest with you, I'm disappointed in our defense this year. I thought we grew February offensively. We started off walking the ball up. I said, you know, I was quoted as saying, you know, we're going to crawl, we're going to walk, and then we're going to run. And that's exactly what we did. In that moment when we were walking and crawling, our defense was damn good. And really, really good. And then as we got into the offensive kind of phase and started running, our defense wasn't as good. And that's disappointing to me. So we got to work on that. I want us to be balanced. You know, can we be 12th in offense and 10th in defense? Now you got a good team. When I was in Indiana, we were 29th or 28th in offense, but first in defense. And we still had a pretty good team, but not quite good enough to win it. So I'm hoping we can become more balanced within that. Be a team that plays the right way at the offensive end with ball movement and .5 basketball. But, you know, it takes time. Mm-hmm. John's always telling me to slow down. Slow down. Doug's telling me, hey, you can't do it all in 2 weeks, but you want it, right? You want it for the franchise. You want it for the Reinsdorfs. You want it for the fans. When I see people on the street and they're down or they're like, hey, man, when are we going to start winning some games? Or, man, I don't like the way we play, coach. I'm happy that you got the job, but I don't like the way we play. That bothers me, man.
Oh, yeah.
That's
no
tough.
No question about it. You know, Theo Epstein with the Cubs always says that progress, growth in young athletes isn't always linear. So, you know, a lot of people think now, well, you got five guys under 25 and we're going to explode.
Yeah.
But you've got a lot of work to do this summer. What would you like to see your young guys work on? I know it's different for every guy, but is there a central theme that you're telling these guys, we have to come back and be better in these areas?
Yeah. Well, there's the basketball side of it. You know, we have to improve our defensive efficiency and our offensive efficiency. we have to improve our fourth quarter execution. We have to improve our individual defense and our team defense. We have to improve our ability to make shots. Just shooting the ball, I think, is somewhere that we got to grow. We get a lot of open shots. We're second in the league since I took over the job at getting to the rim, but we're in the bottom fifth in or bottom third in finishing. So we got to be able to make more plays within what we do. But that all that being said, to me, is what we have to do is we got to learn how to share. We got to learn how to sacrifice for each other. And we got to learn how to raise each other up in that moment when it's not good for me personally. Mm-hmm. See, everybody wants to win as long as they're the guy when we're winning.
Sure.
We can't have 10 guys. You know, we can have a couple guys that are our primary guys. The rest of the guys got to raise people up. And in that moment when a primary guy is not maybe having his best day or his best week, he's still got to raise people up. That's what I want us to get. If we get that, Mark, we're going to have a good team. And we're going to have a team that people can be proud of.
You obviously are going to add a high draft pick this year. John has talked about the fact that he would like to use the cap space that you guys have to bring in a couple of quality veterans, guys who know the ins and outs of the league and maybe can lift up this young group. How important will that be to add a couple of really quality veterans in here to not only contribute on the court, but to help out with the growth of these young guys?
Yeah. It's a huge, huge piece of what we're doing. And I don't think they have to be starters. Mm-hmm. You know, they don't have to be 25-game point game scorers. They need to be guys that understand what winning basketball looks like. Hopefully have some playoff experience, because that's really what the league's about. And not afraid to have a tough conversation with their teammate. This is not how we're going to do it here. And as you know, I lay those things out pretty clear with everybody. How I want it, how we want it, what's acceptable. And I'm not talking about a rule book. I'm talking about standards of behavior, standards of how we're going to play. We miss a shot, we run back. We don't bitch at the official. You know, we turn the ball over, we don't shrug our shoulders, we run back. You know, open man gets the ball. Simple standards of play and behavior. We're on time. We're respectful of bus times, practice times, treatment times. That's the kind of stuff that I need a veteran to understand. We don't have to have great, great players that we bring in. We got to have great people that have high character, that care about what we're building, that bulls across their chest mean something. And what that means is I'm going to play hard every possession. I'm going to lift my teammate up, and I'm going to respect coaching. And that's what the great teams here did.
Now, you got an immediate lift for bringing Otto Porter Jr. in, who played extremely well right off the outset, shooting the ball, spacing the floor, doing a lot of things that maybe you were short of on the roster. Unfortunately, he got hurt, wasn't able to finish the season, so you weren't able to see that development all the way through. But projecting him with your group next year, how big of a factor can he be in this Bulls rebuild?
I think it's as big a piece. I don't read a whole bunch of stuff. I read an article that said that one of the best, biggest trades in the last 5-10 years maybe in the league. We got positional size. We got positional expertise. We got a high character guy. When he comes in the game, he just calms us down. You know, he makes the right play, a good decision. He makes a tough shot that gets us, stops their run. He has a feel for that, you know, which is a big skill. He understands our defense, and he can play in his gaps with his length, 7'3" wingspan. And then beyond that, we're talking about veterans and all that. He gives me the amen a lot. You know, we're watching film.
Sure.
I'm on somebody about this is not how we're going to do it here. You understand that. This is what I expect. This is what we want you to do. And he gives me the amen or yeah, coach. And I see him nodding his head. Or he might say, hey, coach, run that back. That's what we need. He takes ownership of the team even when he's not playing. He's been banged up. But he's still in the meetings. He's still around. He's on the bench. He's helping the young guys. Some guys haven't been coached hard. Some guys haven't been told the truth. You know, and when I tell these guys the truth, he understands that that's what has to happen. They need that. We need that. I'm not caring for them, Mark, if I'm not doing that to them. And he understands that. Not everybody does. And the one thing he knows is I'm not an absentee father. I'm going to be there for them. I'm going to be around and help them, you know, and watch the film with them and spend the time with them and, you know, be there in that rough moment when I'm upset with them because I think they're underachieving or they're not being coachable. You know, defiance is a big part of this league, and it hurts a lot of teams. You can't be defiant here. Can't do it.
My partner on Bulls Pre and Post, Kendall Gill, played 15 years in the league, and he's always, not always, but at times will say about Lowry, I'd like to see more dog in him. Yeah. I'd like to see him when he gets a switch and he gets a small point guard on him in the block, demand the ball. And we saw in February how special he can be. What areas does he need to improve in to reach the heights that a lot of Bulls fans are hoping for?
Yeah. Well, believe it or not, I got a long list on him. We've got a long list on every guy. That's what coaching is. But, you know, first of all, I think he needs to get lost in the defensive end of the floor and the rebounding. When he gets a rebound off that board, it does something to him spiritually. He feels in control of the game, and he can bring it, and he can make decisions. So his ability to defend, for us to get a stop, and then him rebound the ball, I think is a huge part of his maturation, you know, his aura, you know, as a player. That. He has to recognize when he has an open three and when he needs to shot fake and bounce it or when he needs to drive it. He takes a lot of contested threes. I want him to take more drive-in situations because people are going to run him off the line. So recognize that. Have discernment in that moment of I need to put this baby down and make another play or get to the rim. And then he needs to work on going right. He goes left. Predominantly, he's working on going right. He's done it some. I've mentioned it after games. Lowry went right today. That sounds like a little thing, but think about your game. If you can go both ways efficiently, you add 50% to your game right there. You know, I worked for Judd Heathcote. He used to say, hey, if you can get 20% better in the summer for four straight summers when you're in college, you're 80% better. I say the same thing to our guys. If you can improve the things you don't do well, and the best players have. You know, Magic had He got the roll hook, you know, and then he got the three ball, you know, right on down the line. Guys improve. So he's got a lot of room for growth. Lowry does, but he's also, we're thankful for him, and he's a good player.
Oh, he sure is. Yeah, 21 years old, seven-footer with those skills. That's a great weapon to have.
Yep.
You know, in today's game, the point guard position is so vital. You know, you need a guy that can space the floor, knock down the threes, get you organized, get in the paint. So many responsibilities are on that guy. There's been criticism of Chris that has at times been unfair because he's been hurt a lot. He's been in and out of the lineup. This is going to be a position I know that the front office is going to look at really closely in the offseason. You could draft a Ja Morant number two if you get that pick.
Sure.
You could add free agents. Is that going to be a primary focus of getting that right going into training camp?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, Chris has been hurt, and it's hurt his development. That being said, he needs to play better. He knows it. The thing I love about him is he takes ownership of his play. He's had some wonderful moments for us. He's had some difficult moments for us, as all of our guys have. But he continues to be coachable and teachable and care about the team. He's never been defiant on what we need him to do. It's just been disappointing that injuries have limited his ability to grow. But he's still a part of what we're building, Mark, and he's still an important piece to this team. Will we look at a point guard? Of course. You know, will we look at the best player available at that position? Of course. If it's a point guard, we'll look at that and also develop the other guys we have. So I think Chris understands the business, but he's been a guy that's been great to me since I got the job. He's embraced everything I've tried to give him. He takes coaching. When your starting point guard allows you to coach him hard and hold him accountable, it helps everybody. And he's done that, and I'm thankful for him and for that.
We talked about the growth of the team in February, showing the formula for winning basketball. Late in the season, you've had so many injuries, guys, rotation players out of the lineup. You've had to call up guys from the G League team. I want to ask you about that whole experience. You know, you see a guy like Walter Lemon Jr. have some success on an NBA floor. Jakarr Sampson doing what he's doing. Even going back to Shaq Harrison, who you picked up early in the year, really coming. What's that like for you as a coach to see some of these guys who were looked at as outcasts from some of the NBA world having some success in your program?
I love it. I love the opportunity they have. I love their motors, their energy. There's a innocence to them in a way, you know. I feel them almost like reaching out to me for help, which is great. Obviously, they're at that stage in their career when they're looking for an opportunity. I think that everybody's trying to establish themselves in this league. If you're a starter, you want to be an all-star. If you're an all-star, you want to be a first-team all-league guy, and what goes, all the things that go with that, whether it's commercials or sponsorship or your shoe deal gets more, whatever it is, you know, we're all trying to do that. Coaches are trying to do that. Players are trying to do it. So if I can help Walt Lemon establish himself in this league and provide for his family, that is an awesome thing. Now, I hope they're all with us for 10 years. I hope they're good enough and they play well enough that we keep them for 10 years. But in that moment, as they're developing, maybe somebody else sees them. Maybe they can go somewhere else and provide for their family. And that's important to me. And it's important to the franchise, I think, to be able to develop players that maybe we choose to keep, or maybe they get something better for themselves. We owe that to them. It's part of it. And I think we're going to have to answer someday, did we help these guys for them or just for us? Did we use them for us, or did we help them become who they could be? And my staff and I, we take that very seriously.
Well, the curtain comes down on the season. Yeah.
Okay.
Curtain comes down on the season on Wednesday. And for the players, you know, they'll scatter for a while, then get back to work. But I know the work never stops for you. When the season ends, what are you going to be working on to try to get yourself ready for summer league and next year's training camp?
So the process has started a little bit now. On an off day or whatever. First, I'm going to evaluate each guy and where I think his growth edges are, you know, where he needs to get better. And I'll meet with them on Thursday. We have a team meeting at noon, and then I'll meet with each guy after that, and then guys will go home and scatter. And then I'll meet with my staff on Friday and explain to them where I think we need to grow, what needs to be done, how we're going to do it. I'll give them the calendar. For me personally, you know, I have not watched a whole bunch of college guys. John and Gar have told me I will be involved in the draft. For me to think I can catch up on the draft in 2 months is probably foolish, but I need to have a feel for who the guys are. You know, I like guys that are tough, that have a motor, that play hard and compete. So, you know, I'm sure we'll be looking at guys like that. The second round pick is important to us, you know. So I'm sure we'll work on that too. And then, you know, free agency is a big part of the summer. How do we spend our money? Who do we spend it on? And, you know, John's told me I'll be involved in that heavily, which is important to me, the right pieces here. So I'll also evaluate the job I did, my staff did, where we need to grow, how I need to grow. I'm sure John and Garl and Jerry and Michael have some tidbits for me, which I embrace. You know, I need that. And I'll take that on the chest and get better at it. So I'm going to spend some time with Doug. Doug and I are going to spend some time together. And he's been very good with me on where I can improve during the season here. And I'm sure he'll have some more for me on that. But that's okay. That's a good thing.
Last thing, every time you come to work, where are those banners?
Banners, yeah.
Yeah, you see the championship banners.
Yeah, I know.
You see them at the United Center when you stand up for the national anthem before every game. What would it mean to you to get this team back where it rightfully belongs in the NBA?
I like the way you said that, rightfully belongs, and that's how I feel too. So if we can establish this culture the way that I see it growing, and not to be redundant, but bulls across our chest means more than our individual success, then we're going to, you know, we're going to be moving towards that. It's a climb. You know, the mountaintop is a climb. It's in some moments I feel we're not as far away as maybe people think, and then there's days when I think, man, we're a long ways away, but we're going to make that climb, and we're going to do it in a respectful, disciplined way, and I think we've already set some of those steps in place. So, but it's going to take guys that sacrifice and care. It's not always about talent. We have to have talent, but it's about honoring the team and playing for each other. Those are not cliches. Those are truths in this business. When you do that, you have a chance to win. So we're going to establish those things, and then hopefully we can hang a banner. And what I tell these guys, and this is something I learned, when you hang a banner, it's there forever. They change the building. The stuff in the building doesn't go to the new building. The only thing that goes is what?
Banner.
Yeah. So that's how valuable that is. That's it. It's the test of time. You know, and that doesn't come easily. And let's face it, some of these guys won't be here for that process. They won't. That's the way it is too. And we got to get the right people on the bus, in the right positions, with the right spirit and the right heart.
Well said, Jim. Thank you very much. I appreciate all the time. Thank you.
Boylan can't wait to get his young players in the gym this summer and work on developing their individual games. Then, of course, there's the draft, free agency, and summer league before the coaching staff makes plans for the start of training camp in late September. Thank you for listening to the Bulls Talk podcast presented by Coors Light. Remember, you can find all of our shows at NBCSportsChicago.com/podcasts. You can also listen and subscribe at Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, and Google Play.